Okay, we are live. Welcome everybody to the Heathen Hour. I am your co-host Shannon Q. As always, we have Godless Cranium in the background, making sure everything is going okay with the technology. And today we have a very special guest for you. His name is Jimmy, and he is also known as Dear Mr. Atheist. Say hello, Jimmy.
You
It's Jimmy.
need like the old school like yellow sitcom lettering too. Welcome,
Yep.
you're atheist. Hi, everybody.
So, Jimmy has his own channel. We're going to give Jimmy a bit to introduce himself, but today we are going to be talking about Mormonism, which is a topic that we have not covered thus far on the podcast. So I'm excited about that. So,
I'm
Jimmy,
popping the Mormon sherry.
you're popping the Mormon cherry here on Heathen Hour, Jimmy.
Like many.
Congratulations, you did
Like
it.
many a bishop's son.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh.
So we've set the tone. We know what direction this one's going. All right, so Jimmy, before we get going, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel called Mr. Atheist. So the main show is on Thursday. Dear Mr. Atheist, answer questions that atheists are posed over and over again, but once a month, because I come from Mormonism, I just shit on Mormons for the day. I even had a shit on Mormons for a month a little bit back. It was a good month. And I say we, it's me. It's so like egotistical. I also have a live show on Sundays called Sunday Mass. Both of you have appeared on it, Shannon, multiple times. Godless Cranium, not enough. And I do 3-minute rants on Tuesdays, which is just me yelling at the camera like I'm Alex Jones, but with less conspiracy.
Do
I
you
have to
wear a
have
frog
multiple
suit?
appearances.
Because that's what I want to see.
What's that?
I want to see you wear a frog suit like Alex Jones.
Oh yeah.
He probably would.
I don't take off my shirt near as much as him, and I rarely get so red.
There's a rule that I have to be on your show multiple times, otherwise you don't technically qualify as a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
It's a
no,
rule.
that's I've been abiding it. Absolutely. By the way, there's nobody coming on a week from tomorrow, so
A week from to oh, I'm so I'll be in Edmonton. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I might
All
be able to do
right.
that though. I might be able to do that.
All right.
Oh,
Hell
there you go.
yeah.
I'll come on
There you
twice. There you go. Look at
go.
that.
Hell
There you
yeah.
go. He's doing it.
You
He's
could
got
be
more
all
than enough.
three guests. I'm thinking about, I think it's too many. I usually have myself and three other people. I'm thinking I need to cut down to just one or two guests. It's
That's
starting
a
to feel
social
like.
clusterfuck.
And if I feel like after every show, I end up apologizing to somebody and being like, I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to talk at all. I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Right, so we're going to talk about Mormonism today. So, Jimmy was a Mormon for how long? How long were you a Mormon for?
It's such a complicated, it has a complicated answer because there's like, because for so long when I had doubts, I hid doubts and just didn't go to church and stuff. Like, effectively, until I was 18. And then I was not really ever going to church anymore. I had lots of questions, lots of doubts, but I just sort of went like, I'm going to not rock the boat, not ask the questions. I'm just going to go off and live my life. By 20, almost 21, I definitely like knew I was an atheist. And then I stayed in the closet for another year or two before I was outed by my brother to my family.
Okay,
Whoa,
so.
we got to get into that outing.
Oh, yeah.
But what's
It's actually,
it?
it's a juicy story.
But what's the what's it like to grow up in a, like a Mormon household? Is it different than, you know, a secular household or
Yes. Okay,
Christian?
so there's a couple of answers. Every question you ask is going to be complicated. So
Welcome
I
to the
grew
world
up,
of Jimmy.
yeah. I grew up in a Mormon household with a family that very Mormon values. My father was a bishop and in stake presidencies several times. My mother was president of the Relief Society and also Young Women's Presidency and all that stuff a bunch of times. So both like card carrying Mormons. But my dad is a New Yorker and my mother is British. And my dad has like real New York family values. And by that I mean it's kind of like the mob, like no stitching and loyal, no snitching and loyalty first was also a big part of it. So, like, I don't know that I could say I had the typical Mormon upbringing. There was just a big Mormon plus a little bit of the mob.
Because I'm British.
It was a touch. Well, my mother's British, which just meant she was a stay-at-home mom who can't cook because British.
That's delightful.
You can cook like tan-colored things. That's about it.
So you just ate a lot of beige food.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was cereal for breakfast every day. It was peanut butter and jelly, or once we got older and could make our own sandwiches, like ham sandwich. But it was like sandwiches for lunch every day, and then dinner was always something that had like a big filler. Like, also, I have 12 siblings, so that's something else people should know. So, like, food was always like filler food above nutrition. So it would be like spaghetti or rice-based dishes or things like that, just to make sure everybody was full for as little money as possible.
Oh,
Yeah.
I can empathize with that. All right, so getting back to the Mormon portion of it.
Yeah.
So when you had doubts, what was the first thing that you doubted? Like, what was the first thing that kind of chinked away at the armor?
Yeah. It's complicated. No, okay. But it is. So there's two stories I have, and I'll make them both quick. But the first one is the first time I ever out loud expressed a doubt, and I was just a child. And then the first time was where I went, oh no, this could all be bullshit. So the first time I expressed a doubt, I was only like 6 or 7, and it wasn't like the church isn't true doubt. It was, we had always been taught that the church is like the truest truth, and there's all these other religions. And I had asked my brothers, I was like, okay, I get that we have the truth, but what if there's a church out there that has everything we have, but then they also have like a little bit more truth? And just got berated until it was like almost as bad as the time I wrote a paper saying, why should sick people be condemned to pay for their medical bills if they're born with illness? And at the time, everyone in my family was super conservative. Both of those got me terrible beratings. The first time I thought, oh no, this could all be bullshit, was around 14 years old, and I was sitting in what's called sacrament meeting. It's like the first hour of church, and it's their main meeting. The sacrament gets passed, and then strangers talk down to you. So it was actually the first Sunday of the month is called fast and testimony meeting, which means anybody can get up and say whatever they want. And this lady had gotten up, and she was telling this story about how she thought they had a guardian angel because there were like chores that were just being done in the house, and they would come home and find things tidy and straight. And she thought, until she realized when her kids were talking about when she would like go and garden outside, that somebody was coming to play with them. And at first she thought it was the angel, but they realized there was a vagrant secretly living somewhere in their house and they couldn't find him. I know, I know. And so she starts telling this whole story about the vagrant, and finally they decided, like, for the safety of their family, they can't abide it, even though they loved that whoever it was some kind of guardian angel. And so they go around the house, they take the kids out, they go around the house yelling, like, we're leaving, we'll be back in 3 hours, you need to be gone. There's like food on the table for you, and like they've made like care packs for them to take. So they go around the house yelling this, and then they come back and they said they never see it. But she then starts to tell the story, like finish off the story about what a blessing it is that this vagrant, this homeless person that was living in their house around their kids, what a blessing it was. And she's crying. And I remember I looked back at my dad because my dad and I have very similar senses of humor. And I got the look of like, oh yeah, she's nuts. Looked around the rest of the congregation, they were all crying. They were all touched by this fucking nutter butter story. So, and that was the first time I went, oh, this could all be bullshit. So that was the first time.
So somebody in the comment section or the chat asked if how many of your siblings are still Mormons?
Another complicated answer. For sure, I'm out and two of my brothers are out. I can already tell who's going to be the next out, but I would never publicly say it because of what fallout there might or prep ways they might prep. I have an older sister who left and then came back, so she's stupid. But for sure, I was the first one out, and then two of my older brothers left. One of my older brothers sucks at being a Mormon, but he's still technically a Mormon. And then at present, the range of ages of us 12 are, my youngest sibling is just turned 4, and my oldest is like 47. So what? It's like a huge range. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're and I'm in the center at 28.
Oh my goodness, your poor mother. Wow.
Only 7 of us are biological.
Oh, so there's lots of adopted siblings. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So, well, I want to, I have a bunch of questions. I was on a stream on your channel where we talked about Mormonism one day and it blew my mind like a lot.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the craziest thing, like individual piece of doctrine that you held to be true and believe?
That I held to be true. Mm-hmm. That's everything's pretty stupid. So to isolate one, the things I found out that I missed.
So there's no redeeming qualities. Like there's, I was going to ask this too. There's nothing that's good. Like I always get in trouble from my subscribers and stuff that say, or people on Twitter sometimes will say, you know, you're way too hard on religion. You never point out any of the good things that there are. So I'm going to ask you that question so I don't get accused of that again. On top of Shannon's, is there anything redeeming, anything good that you can take from the Mormonism?
A lot of people think that the focus on family is good. I don't necessarily, but there's a lot about it that is positive, I guess. But there's also a lot about it that it kind of builds. We Mormons don't ostracize or they don't publicly shame you if you leave the church. If you're straight, they don't ask your family to disavow you in any way. They do if you're gay, but they don't have, but it still sets up the attitude where when a person leaves, everyone still takes it on themselves to be like, fuck you, get out of our life. But they don't, there's no policy around it. So, but the focus on the family is kind of good. People usually think the redeeming quality is how happy these people seem to be. I actually made a video on this. I think it's called Mormons Lie to Their Kids About Something. But it's all about Mormon childhood programming. The way, no matter how miserable you are, no matter how much abuse you're getting at home, no matter how much abuse you're getting at church, no matter what, always smile and always be the beacon of light because you're the example to the world. So it's all phony. The happiness thing is all bullshit. So I guess it's kind of like, yes, there are things people on the outside would say are redeeming qualities, but I know on the inside what the other half of that is. So it's hard for me to say anything redeems them.
Yeah,
can we talk about the planet full of gods soon? I love it so
much. Yeah. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Or the submarine, the magic submarine that took everybody to the United States.
Oh my, yeah. I need to hear about this magic submarine.
This is what we should be talking about. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I almost want to be Mormon just because it's fantastic.
which do you want first, the god planet or the submarines?
Well, which one was the one with the mountain that led to the mountain led to the submarine, right? Or is that a different one?
Yeah, I mean, there's a mountain. Okay, so what you're talking about is... So,
that's where they got the rocks that lit up the submarine, right?
Yeah. All right. So let me set the scene for you. Mormons believe when the Tower of Babel fell, that there was this guy there called... he's referred to as the brother of Jared. I always forget his name now because it was always... it's like Maury Ankimer or something. Some weird name, so they call him the brother of Jared. And he was a prophet, and the brother of Jared is like, oh no, only me and my family can talk to each other. Let's run away from all this evil. And then he ends up going up a mountain and he's like, God, what do I do? And God shows him all of everything that's ever going to happen, the whole future. Then he is like, now you need to make these little submarines, these barges, but they're submarines. You put a hole in the top and the bottom so that when they emerge, you can breathe out of whichever one, and then they have these plugs. So basically, like, imagine a wooden submarine with corks on the top and bottom. And he was like, but when we're underwater and at night, we won't be able to see. And so then God shows up as a cloud, and he's like, okay, grab me some rocks. And he puts some rocks down, and the finger of God, actually, it might have been Jesus, to tell you the truth. I don't remember if it's God or Jesus. The finger, one of them, God or Jesus's fingers the rocks. Fingering the rocks lights them up, and these are put in these wooden submarines. So then him and his family and a bunch of bees, I guess. Like, they think that's where how honeybees got to America. Which, by the way, they didn't for like over 1,000 years after. I'm pretty sure it was like around, it was a long time. Didn't the Europeans bring bees? There's no bees before the, anyway. So they bring bees, maybe even horses. I don't remember everything they brought, but in these stupid submarines that they just shot into the ocean and then God drove them.
It's basically like a crazier version of Noah's Ark, basically.
Yeah, only everybody doesn't die.
Yeah, yeah.
What's funny is it's actually a crazier version of the story that's later in the Book of Mormon, though technically like earlier in the pages, but it's later in chronology. Because it's basically that exact same story happens again when Jerusalem is destroyed. Spoiler, it wasn't. But when Jerusalem is destroyed around 600 BC, Lehi and his family flee because God warns them like he did with Abraham or...
Jared's brother.
No, the dude in the Bible, Lot.
Oh.
Get out of there, man. They flee, and then Nephi can just build a ship despite being a Middle Eastern dude. Like, he can just build a ship to take the family across the ocean, and that's how... So they get to America, and then they find later these records of these people, the Jaredites, that came over on the submarines.
Isn't that amazing?
And what happened to those people that came over on the submarines, according to Mormonism?
I think they just died out. There's probably wars. They always do. There's something called the Mormon Pride Cycle or the Lamanite Pride Cycle, but it's basically the stories go like, God gave them a bunch of stuff. Then they became prideful. Then they were destroyed. God gave them a bunch of stuff, prideful, destroyed. It just happens over and over and over again.
Like when Jesus came and everything got dark? Or no, when Jesus died, everything got dark for like days.
Yeah. A night and a day.
Yeah. But tell them where God comes from. Tell them where God comes from.
Okay, so at present, Mormons believe God lives on a literal planet in the same universe as us called Kolob.
Like Planet Hulk. Like Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
And when you die, you get to live there and be a god, and then you get your own Jesus. It's awesome.
So actually, this planet is supposed to be, I think it's the Telestial Kingdom that this planet, man, it's been so long. These are like those obscure questions that I'm just going over like historically why it's bullshit. But our planet is one of the heavens. And then the Celestial Kingdom, if you get to the Celestial Kingdom, you'll become exalted and you become a god yourself. Not you, Shannon, because you have a vagina.
fuck me.
Yeah, but you can serve your husband's universes. And you got to create your own universes and be your own god. So Mormons believe in this concept, which is the way they worded
Paul,
it is.
Paul just as converted, god, I think.
As God is, man may become. As man is, God once was. So the whole idea is that God at one point did all of the stuff we're doing now, and he would have sinned and then repented and became exalted, which is kind of funny if you think about it, to like think of like the sins this supposed perfect God would have committed, like anal fisting. I don't know.
So it's kind of like polytheism, only we only have the one God, but there are other gods, but they lord over different people. And then you get to be one day too, and you get your own people to fuck with.
And technically, God would have his own God, and that's a never-ending cycle with no
infinite regress.
Yeah,
there's no ultimate God, like Jesus God.
No first God. And then Jesus is like this strange one in the mix because no one really has a good explanation for Jesus, because the whole thing about we have to come to the earth to get a body, it's part of the thing. So Mormons believe that basically we as existences, as intelligences, always existed. And then our God came along and gathered our intelligences into spirits. And then we had this whole pre-existence before we're born, this war in heaven, all the shit goes down. Satan wins a third of the people. God wins two-thirds of the people. Then there's a bunch of fence sitters, and those are the people with AIDS.
What? Yeah. You can't just drop that and leave.
So historically, black people, people with like chronic diseases, really bad diseases, born with cancer, born with AIDS, the Mormons in the past, they won't admit to it now, have claimed that those were the people who were fence sitters. So anybody who was cursed in any way, and black skin is one of the curses in Mormonism. So those were the people who were like, I might go with Satan, but God's looking like the stronger one. So because they weren't like devoted to God, they have more adversity when they come to this planet.
They weren't one of the extremists, so they have to, they're out.
Right, right.
Cancer, then, for you.
Yeah, yeah. Where was I taking that?
Wait, how did they explain like cancer, like people that get cancer or diseases later on in life, right?
So modern day, most Mormons think that it is, so modern day, a Mormon scholar, like somebody who actually knows the doctrine, will say it can just be random or it can be a trial or everything happens for a reason, but it doesn't mean you necessarily did something evil, but it's can be trials of faith. It can be all kinds of shit. But like with me, I've had some severe medical problems since leaving. And I know that there are, but I actually had severe medical problems before I left too. But they kind of got worse and I had to deal with them a little more after leaving. And I know I have family members and people from the church who think that it's cause I left that things got worse. And it's like, no, it was anyway. So it depends on who you ask mostly. Now they've got a new prophet who's trying to turn back the clock on any social progression like 100 years. So that's fun.
I just saw Notjaw Witness just subscribed. Shame on you, Notjaw, for not being subscribed.
Just
come on, Notjaw.
Come on, man.
Apologia said, I'm surprised that Jimmy went on a stream where he doesn't have the best hair. I acknowledge that you have to say that.
I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah. Jesus.
It's okay. I'm having a bad hair day today. I'll allow it. Today.
So what is this coming out story? So how did that happen?
Okay. So it has almost nothing to do with anything within the religion. But basically, it's nice that I have 12 brothers, because as long as I don't say their name, good luck figuring out who, or 12 siblings, good luck figuring out which one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I had a brother who got his girlfriend pregnant the very first time they had sex because they were trusting her iPod app on ovulation. So he comes back from his mission. He starts dating this non-Mormon girl. The things escalate because you can't not have sex. It's just not possible. And they have sex. And the first time he ever has sex and the first time they ever have sex, she gets pregnant. So he has to tell the family and he goes through this whole shaming thing with them. But some of it was like, okay, now you just have to do the right thing. And some of it was like, you messed up, mister. So he comes to me and I'm like, dude, that's fine, man. And I ended up telling him, I'm like, I'm not even really in the church. Like low key, this is all bullshit. And we even talked about it and was like, who did you hurt by doing this? Like now you're gonna have a kid. So you hurt yourself, but like the actual action of having sex, do you really feel like you did anything wrong? And we were kind of on board and together. Anyway, he gets threatened with excommunication. He marries the girl. They start a family. And my relationship with his wife becomes tense because she sucks. And so one day her and I have an argument about something. And he just was like, yeah, I'm mad at you because you made my wife mad. So I'm going to go tell mom and dad that you're an atheist. That's it.
And what did they do? Did they lose their shit?
My dad waited. It's kind of his style. He waited until we were arguing about something else because we would debate all kinds of stuff all the time. And then he accused me of lying. And I was like, why would I lie? And then he was like, why do you lie about being a Mormon? And that's how I found out.
Oh, so he placed the cards close to the vest. He was waiting for an opportunity to use it to burn. Yeah.
I think it's more, to tell you the truth, I think it was more he wasn't going to bring it up because it was awkward, but then in the heat of the moment saw how to use it as a weapon.
But you still have relationships with them though, right? Like because there's no shunning really or...
Yeah, yeah. So some members of my family I don't have any relationship with. The brother I just talked about, I don't consider him anything besides a person for whom I share some DNA. We have a common origin story and that's about it. I have some bitter feelings toward other members, but not because of anything to do with the religion, just because of the kind of people they are. But like, I mean, I talk to my mom probably 3 times a month or something. And Mostly I'm catching up. So I have a little brother who has a lot of medical problems and autism, and I care about him a lot. So usually I'm catching up on like what's happening with the kids still in the family. But we talk. It's not, my family already has such a weird dynamic. Like I've talked about this before, but it's super, super competitive to the point that like when one of my other brothers called to tell me like how much he loves the channel, and he was literally just like compliment after compliment, I'm sitting there waiting for it to turn. Like, this is a joke. He's setting me up for something. He's being sarcastic. Like something fucked up is about to happen. And he was just genuinely complimenting me, which is not anything my family was, I was not raised prepared to receive a compliment from a family member. So we just have a weird family dynamic. Everyone who ever like marries into the family and meets them, every time they usually come to me because they know I'm the odd man out, and they're like, dude, your family's fucking weird. I have never seen anything like it. Nobody's excited to see each other. That's kind of like, no one's excited for Thanksgiving. That's not a thing with us.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So when it comes to Mormonism itself, what motivated you to decide to start the channel and, you know, make talking about Mormonism a part of what you do?
Ego.
It's honest.
I like to talk and I like to be listened to. And so I like teaching. I definitely am motivated by the fact that I converted people to Mormonism and would like to balance that out and deconvert as many people as possible. I wanted to do something like it for a while, and I had tried little things here and there. I had even actually made, so what became episode 4 or 5, which was me replying to Josh Feuerstein debunking evolution in 3 minutes. I made that video 2 or 3 times in the past. And just never published it. And so it was something I kind of always wanted to do and wish I had done before the apocalypse happened. But anyway, the channel's doing well enough, but it could have done so much better if I'd started earlier. Also, I love ex-Mormon podcasts. I had listened to some. I had kind of gotten out of, by the time I opened my channel, I wasn't listening to them as much, but I did notice that there isn't a big ex-Mormon presence on YouTube. There's a huge podcast community, but not YouTube community. So that was...
I just want to point out something funny that just happened in the chat. So we said about Not John not being subscribed, and then I noticed that Zero, he's got a bunch of numbers at the end of his name, subscribed. And so I said in the chat, hey, thanks for subscribing. And then he was like, I was already subscribed, but I unsubbed and subbed in hopes of being shamed. My efforts were for nothing.
He does that too, man. He and a bunch of, so I did a stream, I think when I was getting close to 1,000 subscribers, and I did a stream like, hey, let's see if we can get 1,000 tonight. And I did get 1,000, but first he and Esso Lycan and a bunch of other people who are like, they kept doing, so I had like the live,
I was on that stream.
And they kept making my growth look like a castle wall. It'd be like, subscribe, unsubscribe.
Yeah. That's funny.
It was so funny.
I remember how well you took it too.
Was it gracefully? I hope it was gracefully.
Wonderful. It was gracefully for sure.
Yeah, good.
Oh my gosh, funny. So did you actually do like a mission or do any knocking on doors? Like you said you converted people. Did you actually go to somebody's home and tell them all about the good news and why they should be a Mormon?
So the answer to the first question is no, but the second is yes, because it's complicated. I never myself went on a mission because by 18, I had too many doubts. And so then when I turned 19 and the stake president has me over to his house, which is still something I didn't even realize how weird that idea is until later, but he has me over to his house and we're just sitting in his living room and he's asking me if I touch myself and all those kind, not literally, but asking me if I'm worthy to go on a mission. And then I told him about my medical issues and he was like, okay, you shouldn't go, which is something they do. You can be medically released and you only get treated 50% as shitty as the people who decide not to go.
Oh, of course, I guess.
just because it always just has the air of you never went on a mission. Anyway, he honorably released me like it's some military bullshit. Then I had a branch president who was like in charge of the singles branch where I went to church, who tried to undo it and was like, oh, he comes in. Hey, I don't believe it. God hasn't told me he shouldn't go. Anyway, that was the whole thing. It didn't matter because by the time that could have done anything, I was actually out of the church. So while I didn't go on a mission, when I was 16, I started going on missionary exchanges, which is basically where you pick up the missionaries and you drive them to their appointments. And you sit in, and because I was a bishop's son and intelligent and knew all the doctrine and stuff, you contribute to. So I participated in that regard, and there were definitely people who got baptized who were from there, but most of the people I baptized were girls I dated. That was the main way. There were girls I converted. There was two girls who were inactive and probably would have never come back to church except for my penis.
Except for your penis. I've heard that. So I got a question about the whole going door to door thing. The whole story, like if you don't initially buy into it and you're not raised with it, like it's so outlandish and bonkers. Right. How do you sell it to somebody? Do you do it in small increments?
Yeah. So there's a video they try to play for you in the first or second session if you have a DVD player or if you can come to them. And basically the way you do it is you tell them the pieces of the story that all still sound reasonable, and then you commit them to baptism based on good feelings you make them feel via prayer, but it's really like soft forms of hypnosis.
So you're baptized before you know the whole doctrine? Yeah.
I didn't know about Joseph putting his head in the hat with the stones until I had left the church. I was still told forever, no, that's not true. That's not what happened. He used the Urim and Thummim as though that's somehow less weird, but he used an ancient breastplate and spectacles. and that was reasonable to me.
And you're like, oh, okay. But if he puts his head in a hat, I'm out.
We heard the stones in the hat from the South Park episode, and I was going around telling everyone how wrong the South Park episode was, but you do it in your passive aggressive Mormon way, like, ha, it wasn't that so funny. What a funny episode, that comedy show, that funny comedy show. But you know, that's not really what happened. That's pretty much how that went.
So you're baptized before you even know the whole story of the religion that you've just decided to adhere to.
I was baptized at 8 years old. I made a covenant to never betray God and to always believe at 8 years old.
Well, we're at birth.
I was going to say that's better than a lot of Christian sects, actually. Yeah. Because they just like babies. Yeah. Here you go.
But I'm thinking like the adult converts, like if you knock on somebody's door and they're like, this sounds great, I'm in. Like you baptize them before they even really know what they just agreed to. Like the church is fine with that. Well, of course
they'll tell you the story of Joseph Smith, but they'll tell you their version with a lot of they're not going to bring up the hat and the stones. They're gonna make it appeal to you, so they make it about like how stressed out Joseph supposedly was, and all Joseph wanted to know was which church to join, and he thought the answer was one of them. And so they're trying to lead you on a story of like your life, like you've struggled with, is this really the right church? So then when he went and he asked, it turned out none of the churches were true, a point upon which I agree with Joseph. Okay. But then he was supposed to create the one true church. I keep moving hair out of my headphones keep pulling.
Now you're paranoid. Probably means paranoid.
yep. No, my headphones keep pulling hair into my eyes because I can't stay still for two fucking seconds. So they'll tell you, like, they try to appeal to you and appeal to the feelings. And if you watch the video, you can even see what they're doing with music. So that the music is the underlying track builds. And then when he has this moment where he sees God and you see the light come in, like any epic story, the light's coming in and then this chorus hits. There's this, oh, not quite that, but but loud and building and very pretty. And so you do feel a feeling of genuine elation. I'm not arguing that people don't feel something, but you're being fucking hypnotized is what you're fucking feeling.
I like your bad, ooh, and then you're like very pretty.
Yeah. That
so the opposite of what you just did.
Yeah, exactly. Just take that and change everything about it, and that's what we're talking about.
So what do the Mormons think about the rest of Christianity? Like, do they?
Again, it depends on who you ask. But like, the official thing would be all Christianity has pieces of the truth, but only the Mormonism has the full restored gospel, or will have the full restored gospel. It has the most truth of all of them.
The most truth.
Yeah, that's so basically, it's like, these all stemmed off from Christianity, but they don't believe anybody had the priesthood authority after Jesus and the apostles died. And they think like the story of the Catholic origin story is all baloney. Like, you can't go in and take the priesthood from a dead body is the way they put it. So, cause the rest of their magic tricks are somehow better. So yeah, basically, they all have a lot of truth. A lot of them will make it in the end, but after they die, they'll have to wait in spirit prison where they'll get the missionary lessons. Then somebody will be baptized on their behalf. So spirit prison is where you wait to get the missionary lessons, basically. And then you get an opportunity to leave as soon as somebody is baptized for you posthumously. So once that's what baptisms for the dead is. Baptism by proxy.
Wow.
That's why you guys baptize so many dead people.
Yeah.
Trying to help them get out of prison.
Yeah, that's why.
Live on the planet and be gods.
So that's why. But there's a lot of dead baptism questions that still haven't really been answered. Like, why Hitler has been baptized about 14 times now.
Yeah, like, why do you keep saving Hitler?
Yeah.
Like, why won't you just let him languish in stupid prison purgatory or whatever the hell it's called? I missed that.
So like, according to Mormonism then, like, so Hitler would now be a god at ruling over his own people?
No, like, not, I don't think nobody's a god yet. Basically, the whole plan of salvation has to see its way through. So the last human has to be born. So the last spirit waiting for a body has to be born. Then Jesus comes back. That whole shit happens. Everybody gets resurrected. Satan gets sent away for 1,000 years. Then Satan comes back. Anybody who doesn't sin, who like have gone through the 1,000 years of becoming godly, anyone who doesn't sin when Satan comes back and dishes out his new temptations, those people are the ones who are going to go to the celestial kingdom and become gods and exalted and stuff. Then there's other levels so even Hitler, if Hitler doesn't make it when Satan comes back, the like highest form of condemnation, unless he chooses to live in isolation forever, which is their equivalent of hell, he still has the opportunity to be in the telestial kingdom, which is their lowest form of heaven, which is still supposed to be like the most bitchin' place. You just don't get to be a god.
So they don't have, did they have a hell then? Or no, just no?
No, so Satan is going to be actually destroyed. He'll be like the only one wiped from existence. Anybody who went with Satan in the first place, and anybody who chooses to go to not participate in the plan of salvation, who had originally chosen to, will basically be eternally isolated. They'll just go back to being an intelligence essentially forever.
So if okay, this is confusing because this is already preordained and written in books all over the place. Satan would theoretically have access to these books. Why would he even bother coming back? Why wouldn't he be like, well, just fuck it. I don't want to be like the only person in the history of the universe to not exist anymore while everybody else gets to go to like all these awesome planets. Screw it then. I'll just let this be and continue existing like I exist on whatever awesome planet I'm currently on. Why would he even come back and be like, well, you know what? I'm not existing. Sounds cool. I'll just do that then.
So the answer to that is, I don't know.
I've kind of thought that about like regular Christianity too, right? Like, because like, I'm sure like Satan read the Bible and was like, hey, I'm about to lose this battle. I got a pretty sweet deal right now, right? Like,
no, like he read Revelation and he was like, you know, never mind.
I'm out. The stupid thing about it, and this is true of Christianity too, but Mormons have like a harder whole mythology lore behind it, is Satan is like a central part of this plan. Like, he has to exist to tempt us for us to be able to even, so he's an evil, wicked being, but without him, you also can't do it. You can't have the plan. Like, he is clearly God's partner in this whole thing, and yet he's the worst. It doesn't make any sense. And remember, so the whole reason why Satan is Satan is because God was like, okay, we need a plan of salvation. Let me hear your pitches. And Jesus was like, I'm going to go down and I will be sacrificed for all of their sins and I will give the glory to you. And Satan was like, I'll go down and sin won't exist. I won't let people sin. Everybody comes to heaven. Everybody gets ultimate glory. But I do want you to be like, yo, that was my boy, Lucy. And that's why he's Satan. Because Jesus's story gave the glory to God and Satan wanted the glory all for himself.
It didn't even sound like he wanted to have it all for himself. It sounded like he wanted to like share the credit for his idea. That was
he said, give the glory to me in their story. But in his version, there's no sin and everybody gets exalted. In Jesus's version, there is sin and everyone has a chance at exaltation, but they also have a chance at being eternally isolated for forever.
So, and God was like, screw those guys, I want credit, and also I'm not even gonna think of a better idea myself.
Yeah.
Jesus' idea. Minimal work for me, all the credit, done. Just take it. Satan's
not really a bad guy in this. He just was a prideful guy. He had ego, which apparently exists in angels, I guess.
God's ego was just bigger because he was like, no.
He was like, just screw all those assholes. I take credit here.
Which is funny because God has also, in the Mormon religion, God has also let Jesus be God a bunch of times. Like the entire God of the Old Testament, Mormons believe Jesus is who they're talking about when they're talking to God, and that Jesus is running everything. And then
Jesus was a dick then.
Oh yeah, Jesus was a big old dick. And then God takes over for the New Testament because Jesus has to be down on earth.
So that's literally the opposite of what Christians believe then, kind of, because Christians believe the God of the Old Testament was like, well, those people had different traditions and he had to treat them differently. And then when Jesus came, it was like, all right, we're good now.
That's probably why a lot of Christians will say Mormons aren't actually Christians, right? I mean, they do that with everybody, but I mean, they do that about Mormons a lot more. Like, they get offended.
Well, if they're Trinitarians, though, then that's not fair, because if they're Trinitarians and they believe Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are one and the same.
Yeah, and they don't. So Mormons believe in a Godhead, but they believe it's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I assume when I mentioned the last spirit has to be born, I'm pretty sure that's the Holy Ghost, because like it doesn't make any other sense. The Holy Ghost is just some dude named Tom, I think. I made up the name. They don't have a name for him. But, well, he's a dude. The Holy Spirit is a dude. And then Jesus is a dude and God is a dude. God has a literal body of flesh and bones. Jesus does now that he's been resurrected. And so the Holy Ghost will have to have that too. But like these people won't need trials. And then the other fucked up thing is like Jesus doesn't have to come down and do all of the actual, like the whole reason why Jesus could resist sinning in Mormon fan fiction is he was 3/4 God and 1/4 human. So he has his heavenly father and his heavenly mother, because God has a wife. And then he has his biological parents on earth were heavenly father and Mary.
Oh yeah. Didn't God literally like engage in some coitus with Mary? Like he actually impregnated her.
That's not official doctrine, but yeah.
like he came down and knocked on her door and was like, this is happening.
Technically he wouldn't have banged her, but there would have been some holy sperm. Like her egg was literally fertilized with God's seed. He had half God, which is what all humans are. All humans are half God. They all have a heavenly father, a heavenly mother, an earthly father, an earthly mother. But his earthly father was also heavenly father, which is like super incest. That's not just fucking your brother. That's fucking yourself. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. That Mark Mutt said he cheated on his wife. Yeah, I guess he did. With a 14-year-old girl. That's where Joseph got the idea. Anyway, Joseph Smith also banged a 14-year-old girl.
Ew.
Yeah. Forced her to become his wife, told her that her family's salvation was dependent on it, and that if she did become his wife, they would all be exalted to the celestial kingdom. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. By the way, I learned about something in the last year that I didn't know about that's fucking amazing and crazy. So Mormons have this thing called endowments. It's where before you go on your mission, basically you go, you get your holy name, you learn the handshakes to get into heaven, and the password to get into heaven. That's all real. It's an old Mason ceremony that they've co-opted.
Oh my God. The password?
Yeah, passwords and handshakes. So that's the first set of endowments. There's apparently, I found out in the last year, there's a thing called the second endowment, which only special people in the church get, and it absolves them of sinning forever. Basically, like if they were like a faithful stake president or a general authority, they get the second endowment. All of the presidency have it. And now no matter what you do, even if you sin, it's not really a sin anymore. No sin will count against you, and you are guaranteed exaltation, which is a pretty fucked up thing.
So you can do whatever you want for the rest of your life?
Anything you want. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
My God.
It's a get out of jail free card.
Ultimate one, because you don't even have to repent by the sounds of it.
Oh, sorry. Brian corrected me. It is called second anointing.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the important differentiation. Does it still do the same thing?
Brian's right, though. But yeah, it's that same thing. Yeah,
yeah, you know, you should be accurate. You're right.
What about the underwear, the magic underwear that people always bring up?
You get that after the first endowments, and basically it's a sign and symbol that you are keeping your covenants, and it's stupid. I mean, that's all it is. And people have told stories about you'll hear stories about like, what a blessing it was because Tom died in a plane crash, but the only part of his body that wasn't burnt was wherever the garments were touching. Wouldn't the blessing be if he didn't fucking die? But whatever.
His whole body was wrapped in the underwear, then he wouldn't have died.
Yeah. Why not just always wear? Yeah. And then travel by slingshot.
That would gotta work. They could make like a weird Mormon superhero. Like just, just always wrapped in underwear.
That would be a really funny parody if you made that, but like the cape was clearly the underwear all stitched together. That would be things pulling it across for bulletproof. That would be dope. I might skip that idea.
Mormon man or something.
Yeah.
There'll be a new avatar on Jimmy's channel before the next series.
It's worth mentioning though, they don't want to be called Mormons anymore, which is the funny thing because we've been saying Mormon this whole time. They want to be called members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because their new prophet dude said that nicknames are a victory for Satan. And because no one's thinking about Jesus Christ when they say Mormons, that's a failure. Which I wonder if like that means I haven't failed because I think about Jesus Christ every time I masturbate. So that's like...
But do you say Mormon when you climax? Because that's together.
Yeah. It's usually more me just like facing the pillow saying more men, but close enough. Yeah.
Whatever semantics.
Roy Littlefield said garment man.
And that's what they call them is the garments or the temple garments or
garment man.
And then they have what's funny is the Mormon underwear is just a V-neck with like underwear that goes all the way to your knees, long briefs. It's just silly that they have it. The concept is silly, and they have a couple of Masonic symbols on it. But what's way weirder, let me see if I can find what to Google real quick.
Skidmark man would work too, I think.
No, okay. That's my line. That is my line. I'm drawing the line. That's it. Line drawn. Line.
So go to
mute yourself if that's how you're gonna talk. I am done with you today.
That the underwear is weird, but Google this real quick. Mormon temple ceremony clothes.
This is what they wear
in the temple for their endowments. If you thought the underwear was weird, just wait and see, and then click images.
So I've got a funny story. Well, it's not really funny. So my ex-boyfriend, when I was in my early 20s, his sister converted to Mormonism at the age of like 17 because she liked a boy. They ended up getting married. I did her makeup for the wedding. I had to go get her nails out, like she had fake nails, out of her bag. She freaked out because she was afraid I looked in the bag because I wasn't even allowed to see the clothes and I certainly wasn't allowed to make contact with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't look in your bag because I don't care what your dress is. I remember looking for a prom dress with you. So I'm assuming it covers your shoulders and it's some sort of sack because that's, but anyway, we had to stand in the parking lot. And when I say we, I mean me and her mother and her father and her brother and her entire family had to stand in the parking lot while they got actually married because we weren't even allowed in right. the building.
They were being sealed for eternity, and the only people allowed inside are that part of the temple are those who have already received their endowments and right. seen these weird clothes they wear.
So her mother was crying because she didn't get to see her daughter get married. She didn't even get to see her dress. She still hasn't to this day. She had to take that dress off, pack it up,
right,
get changed into a different outfit, and then walk out of that building and across the parking lot because they had a separate building for these types of things. Because apparently this happens frequently. So that they could have a fake ceremony where we were allowed to be. And it was the same building where she got baptized. We were allowed to go to her baptism because she wasn't allowed in that other building yet because she hadn't gotten baptized.
It's usually just a reception because they still want presents.
Well, yeah. And it was an alcohol-free reception too, which I was like, after that, I don't understand why everybody isn't like, I need a drink. We were drinking in the parking lot. Like, I don't even know what just happened.
There's something passive aggressive about it too. Like, can you imagine? I think there's something, maybe it's not even passive aggressive. Maybe it's just douchey to be like, you can't come in, but we would like you to wait in the parking lot and then receive them with joy as though you accept what just happened. Like, that's kind of a dick move.
Yeah. And they asked us to take pictures on the grounds with the temple in the background, and the temple is insanely ostentatious. There's this huge gold guy playing like a flute at the top of it.
It's a beer bong, but they teach the doctrine.
it's a
funnel on
there. Yeah, it's like there's a huge gold guy with like a big, it looks like one of those horns that they hand out at hockey games or like football games, like the big red ones that are like this long. Like he's like, it was
just don't mistake that for a golden idol.
But it is gold, and it's right on the top of their building that nobody's allowed inside.
And it points to Jerusalem.
It does it, though? Because I'm pretty sure it was pointing north. I'm almost certain, because it was in Cole Harbor. All right, sure, whatever. Maybe it does. Maybe I've got to reorient myself.
Can I just go Muslim with it? I think it points to Jerusalem.
They point to Mecca when they're praying.
Yeah.
It's Muslim.
The ceremony clothes, they look to me like... like kind of like weird chef, like if chefs went crazy made like a uniform.
Chef went crazy? Oh, I didn't finish Google.
Yeah.
So Brian pointed out, and this is a good point. The exclusivity thing is basically the main way they shame people into making sure they're still paying tithing and control their actions. They're still attending because they'll take away your underwear. They don't literally. But they don't let you wear it anymore. They tell you not to wear it anymore. And they'll take away being able to go to the temple as well as, depending on the sin, you might not be able to take the sacrament, all kinds of stuff.
This isn't real. Do they really have to wear those little green aprons?
Yeah. Yep. It's like an apron and like really a chef hat. But a weird, like the chef hat on the guy anyways. Yeah. It's a
combination of Quaker and Mason shit.
Yeah, the guy's wearing like a weird, like it's like a shower cap and a chef hat had a really ugly baby.
Shower cap is perfect. It is like a shower cap.
By the way,
it's like a shower cap with a flat top.
Do you see the hand symbols they're doing? Because these
they're like this.
Yeah. This one has supposedly been, I haven't been to the temple to confirm, and supposedly the other one been removed, but this used to symbolize your throat being cut if you share the secret.
Oh wow!
What's the one where they have their fist here and their arm out like this, but it's down lower?
Karate chop action. I don't remember what all of them are.
I like this one where the girls are posing. Oh my gosh, this is insane!
So the ceremonies used to be like straight up like what you would imagine satanic ceremonies are kind of like, but now they're. What you would have imagined when you were religious, because obviously satanic ceremonies now are just fucking awesome. it's all better.
It's crazy. Why the green apron? What does the green apron even mean?
I don't remember. Brian's actually been, Brian in your chat has been through the temple, so he would have done all this firsthand.
Holy smokes. This looks like some...
It's Mason shit.
Like, this is the Eyes Wide Shut looking crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Minus the masks with stupider hats.
Yeah.
It's a
No, it's not a sin to shit your garments, and almost all missionaries do at some point.
Oh, my goodness. That's... Wow. I can't believe I'd never thought to Google that before. Holy smokes.
Yeah, those are, so that's not the underwear. Those are the clothing. That's the clothing for the ceremony.
So when my ex's sister was getting married, that's what they were wearing.
Oh my God. I forgot that that's what it is. It represents the green apron, represents the fig leaf that Adam and Eve wore. Wow. Over their balls, over their genitals.
I should have put booze in this. Every time I talk to you, I need to drink. This is true.
I forgot about that. That's so stupid. Every now and then, I just remember stuff from, and like, I believed in the stupidest stuff.
That's why it's got like the embroidery in the middle. It makes it look like a leaf, kind of. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and if you look at close-ups of them, some of them, like the fancier looking ones, actually have leaves on them, so that makes sense.
Their underwear has little subtle symbols on it. So like on one of the knees, there's a line that represents every knee shall bow. There's a little half a triangle over the nipple, because every nipple shall confess that Jesus is Lord. No, it's something. But they all represent something. I never wore the underwear, so it was never important to me.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's intense. Holy smokes. Well, we have like 2 minutes left. So
I had fun.
And I don't even know if we can, I don't even know if I want to ask another question because I don't think your face can take it because it hurts. I might be Mormon now.
That's a crack.
I want to live on the best of the planets. I want to live on whichever of the
Kolob.
I want to be on Kolob.
I'm going to tell my fiance actually when she comes home that I'm half God.
yeah, you are. Oh, what's fun about that though is, so if the two of you went to the temple to get married, when you do your endowments, you'll get a holy name, like your God name, and she will too. She's not allowed to know yours, but you are allowed to know hers because men are just better than women in Mormonism.
What?
Yeah. You are also the ultimate authority for the family. So if she comes and she says, I think we should do this, and you say, I talked to God and he affirmed that what I said we should do is the right way, she is to submit to your will.
Oh, I'm not Mormon anymore. I changed my mind. Don't worry, Paul. I'm still in charge. I'm still the boss here.
Oh, thank you, Shane. Shane linked my channel in the live chat.
Yeah, and the channel is also linked already in the description box. So go check out Mr. Atheist or Jimmy.
Yeah, whatever. Also, Fat Jesus, Thick Jesus, Pretty Daddy, all of those are things my fans. Fat Jesus actually came from not a fan, but Thick Jesus came from a fan.
Fat Jesus was from like somebody that didn't like you?
Yeah, so I even posted it, and people thought I was posting it like, my feelings are hurt. It was this paragraph of just shitting on me, but right in the middle, he calls me Discount Fat Jesus. Yeah! And I embraced it. I'll take it, man.
Discount.
Fat Jesus!
Discount
That's
Fat
Jesus. I call myself the Queen of Thoughtlandia. Sometimes I just have to own that.
Yeah.
It's just like a diamond in the rough that you're like, thank you for that.
I know that guy would not have posted it if he knew how much joy it would have it was going to bring me. And it did.
Kind of like
the name of my Discord server now. Like, my role in my Discord server is Queen of Thoughtlandia.
But have you guys ever had a video response by somebody who is on the toilet taking a dump while they were recording? Because I've had that happen.
I need to see that so bad.
I only just started getting video responses.
Yeah. Was he really straining?
Yeah. No, he was on the toilet, and then like he was making the video, and then like his mom and dad were like knocking on the door and saying. And saying, are you almost done in there? And he was like, I'll be out in 1 minute. And then the entire video, like, in, you know, like one of my avatars is God Bless Cranium. That was him. He called me God Bless Cranium throughout the entire video. So I made a whole character about him. Yeah, it's the best video.
I only just started getting... I got a response to the game show I did where it was me, Matt Dillahunty, Jamie,
I don't
Eric,
think Janet's going to make it.
Do you think that was staged, though? Do you think it was actually... Like, do you think he said, hey, at a minute, come knock and say, are you going to be done in there? Or do you think he would...
No, I think he was serious, yeah. Because Jesus. He was like... He thought he was a preacher. Because the original video I've made... was a response to him, and he was like walking down the street and he was like talking about the Shroud of Turin and all this stuff, right? And he called himself like Pastor Chris or something like that. And then after that, I made a response saying, no, the Shroud is wrong, here's why, right? Blah, blah, blah. And then he made that, and I think it's the only place he could record that was quiet and like kind of locked in because it was a small space so you could hear better. But because he didn't use like an actual microphone, right? I think it was he was using the from the computer or whatever, right? So yeah, okay. I'll send you guys the link. It's like the best.
Yes, please. I don't know. I feel like I may have just made the worst mistake of my life asking for it, but I'm gonna follow through. I'm gonna see this to
it's
completion.
Good. It's kind of endearing. Yeah, it's kind of endearing to see it, like it...
I invite him to do some video responses online too. I cannot I don't think there's anything more flattering to me than someone thinking they should make a video response to my videos.
While they're pooping?
Yeah. Pooping or whatever.
Yeah. Like, whatever you feel like you need to do at the time.
Like the only thing that would be better would be like somebody wanking or something while they're doing it. But...
Post your replies to me.
Don't say that though, because people will send those to me and I'll just... I will get those.
MrAtheist@gmail.com. Post it on Pornhub. Send me a link.
Don't send it to me. Yeah, that you can send mine to Jimmy too. He'll appreciate that more.
Yeah, I can send you to Shannon's Pornhub channel if you want to post them right on there.
Jimmy, that was just for you.
Well, Shannon does have Discord, so you could just post them in his just in the Discord channel.
I do have a Discord, but don't go there, please. If that's what you're going to do. Respond to these two.
Somebody said it's a splash in the middle of the video that makes it worthwhile.
What's happening?
I can't remember if he was actually like taking a dump or if it like was like just he was sitting on the toilet. I can't remember. It's been so long. It was like one of the first video things, but I still get comments. I still get a comment, like I'll look in my comments thing and it'll show like, it'll be like, did that guy just make a video response to you while he's on the toilet? And then it brings it back to me and I laugh. It's funny.
Did you see Puffalophagus wrote, my Southern Baptist wife just put on her headphones. Thanks, Jimmy. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Puffalophagus.
My face literally hurts. I don't even know what to do anymore.
This is fun.
We'll have to have Jimmy back on with a Mormon. Yeah. That would be great.
yeah.
Oh my God.
Let's do it. Done.
My dad, I am down. I would love that.
Yeah, I challenge my dad about once a month to come on, but he won't.
Oh, you should tell your dad to come on here. Yeah, Jimmy versus his dad, and your dad has to be taking a poop while you're doing it.
No,
I know. I will.
You make your bowl.
I've been pooping this whole time.
He's like, why do you think I'm sitting down for this one?
You're sort of
okay, well,
around
in it. This has been fun.
Yeah,
I agree.
We're over.
Thanks for joining us, chat.
Yeah, bye, chat. Thanks, Jimmy.
Bye,
thanks, Jimmy. Bye.
Good end note. Good job, everybody. Go on a high note.